Good evening, everyone. It's good to see each and every one of you here tonight. I'm happy to be here myself. It's always nice to get away from the world and remember our Lord and Savior and to get some unworldly knowledge, some true wisdom, some true hope from the Word to help encourage us along our way. I want to start off tonight with just a thought. Actually more of a regaling, if you will, a story. As you guys know, I like to tell stories. I like to hear them too, so anytime you guys want to share something with me, go right ahead. When I first entered the military, I went to boot camp, and they basically brainwash you there. They turn you into a machine, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to instill certain principles, certain ideas in your mind. Well, with the National Guard, there's an option to leave basic, go back home, and wait for a tech school date later. All right? So I leave basic. I leave that environment in which you go home and you're calling your mom and dad ma'am and sir. All right? That's how brainwashed you are, first off. Secondly, you're perpetual attention all the time. just you're so used to it. Well, here you go 6 months, 8 months down the road, and they say, Wes, we got a tech school date for you. We're going to send you back down to Keesler Air Force Base. So you go back down there and you try and prepare yourself mentally to get back into this mental military mode, right? So you jump back in, and I'll never forget the first day I went to class. Everything was all right. You know, I remembered how everything was supposed to be positioned on your Blues uniforms, because they have certain places they want all the different ornamentation and all that. So you find the proper place and you're checking with your buddies. You're making sure everything's right. You're remembering some of the basic things that they taught you from basic training. Well, we get out of class and we're marching back to our dorm, our barracks, and they call a column right march. And I could not remember to save my life what to do. So here's Wes in the middle of this big group looking like the only sore thumb out there, because I couldn't remember the basics. Could not remember the basics. One of the things I think, and of course that's in jest, it's a funny story, you know, ha ha, let's not really laugh at Wes. No, it's meant to be. But at the same time, one of the big problems we've got today, not only outside of the Church of Christ, but inside the Church of Christ as well, is if we don't teach principles early on to our kids, we don't instill those things and make sure that they understand them, you'll run into generations that have no clue what the basic principles are. Now, can we go overboard and teach nothing but that so that we don't get into the meat of the Bible? Sure. You can go overboard and not go beyond the basics. And we need to learn those things, but we need to make sure that we understand the basics first. I think, I wasn't there, so I can't say for sure. But what I think, one of the Israelites' problems, the early children of God, the Jews, were not teaching their kids like they should. Okay, they departed away from the basic principles. You do that for so long, not only you yourself will forget some of the basic principles, but if you're not teaching them to the people who are going to be replacing you in this world eventually, they're not going to know on the front end. They won't even know to forget, because they never knew it in the first place. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Malachi, the first chapter. I think what we'll find here tonight is that very thing. That very thing's going on. Now, obviously, there are some other things as well, that the people knew what was right. They had departed from that. And as a result, they were going to pay the price. Malachi, the first chapter and verse 1. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste to his hill country, and I have left his heritage to the jackals of the desert. Now, without going back and rereading the entire story about Jacob and Esau, we know what happened in that situation right there. That Jacob was pleasing to the Lord and Esau was not, because Esau gave up his birthright. He basically gave up something that should have been very precious to him. And additionally, we find down the road that he was not pleasing to God as well. Men have their own ideas on what is right and what is wrong. Now, basically, I think what they're getting at here is, you know, they're saying, well, how have you loved us when Esau was nobody to you? You hate and despised Esau, but you loved Jacob. Well, that's up to God to set the standard. That's up to him to say, this is right and this is wrong, and when you're wrong, you're wrong. I don't care what you like, you're still wrong. When the Lord says that he's against something, why can we not understand that and abide with what he wants? Well, first off, we've got to teach that, number one, and we've got to know that ourselves, but we have to teach our kids that as well. They have to know for certain in their mind that this is wrong. That is wrong. This is right. That's right. They don't know that on the front end, and it's not taught to them over and over. Jump over here to the side for a second, off of this. One of the things that's a part of my job at work is to teach people how to do things safely. All right? One of the problems that we as humans have is we will learn things, but we'll forget them. And very quickly, too. You turn right around and do the same silly habit that you've got and end up getting yourself hurt. It's very basic. It's very simple stuff to know and to learn, but we forget it. So they get tired of hearing the same things taught to them at work all the time. But I tell them, I'm there to remind you. That's it. You already know it, but it's just not at the forefront of your mind. That's the same thing it is with biblical knowledge. If we're not studying our words daily, if we are not teaching our children constantly what is right and what is wrong, then we get this generation of people that, well, that's not so wrong as it is, I just interpret it differently. When the Lord said he's against homosexuals, idolaters, those with improper marriages, liars, why can we not understand that and try to help those people from their sins? Let's not accept the sin with the person. Let's separate them. Let's say, this is what you're doing that's wrong. Let's move on. Let's learn what's right. Let's establish some new habits and make sure that you know for sure in your mind that what you're doing is right. They are wrong and lost, and by accepting them, we share in their misery. We're not helping them. Right? As a matter of fact, I think the Bible clearly teaches that we have a responsibility to help those that are wrong, that don't know. Maybe they did know at one time, and they've regressed. Kind of like we're about to see here with the Israelites, their regression. If Edom says, verse 4, if Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down. And they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. False teachers today seem to flourish. The Word of Life, non-denominational Christian groups around here in the Midwest, on the East Coast, and down south in Texas, all over the place, they flourish. Well, they bring in more and more people, and we know that the Lord in the last days will not stand for such iniquity. They will be destroyed. We know this. They do a lot of good works for people around the nation. That's great. And they do a lot of good things for people outside this nation, helping hungry people and, quote-unquote, teaching the word around the world, although we know it's false doctrine that accompanies that. They do a lot of good things, and they think, man, we're building this empire of Christians, and we're doing all these great works. Well, what's the problem with that? They're not stepping off on the right foot. They're wrong. They have started off with something that's wrong, and they're not going to build it into something that's right. So the Israelites here say, we will rebuild our cities. We'll rebuild our towns. They were not in the right side of God in the first place. So they're rebuilding. Their grandiose ideas we're going to be destroyed. And God told them, I'm going to tear down whatever it is that you build up. And that will happen in the last days. If we're not in the right side of God, the exact same thing is going to happen to us. A son honors, verse 6, a son honors his father and his servant, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name, but you say, have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar, but you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor, and he will accept. Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. It's simple right here. It's very simple. He breaks it down in very simplistic terms for us to understand. Okay? He says, this is what I want. This is what you're giving me. This is proper service. This is improper service. Now, if I was you guys as governor and I said, what I want is a 1992 penny is paying homage to me. That's all I want. And you bring me something, you bring me a 1994 penny, that's not what I asked for. Very simplistic terms, but he broke it down to them by saying, your own people, your own governors, your own people that are over you, if you bring them something that they don't want, that they have demanded, does that not offend them? Does that not make them mad because you're not doing what they've asked you to do? Why can you not understand that whenever I ask you for something, when I command you to do something as your Lord and God, can you not provide the same thing that I ask for? Moving along. He has prescribed a method in which he wants us to serve him. He has prescribed a method that we are to follow in our acts of worship. Now, we've identified those, and I think I identified those last week or week before last? Week before last. In the five acts of worship. Okay? Very simple. They're found in the Scriptures. They're not found outside. It's easy stuff. It's easy stuff. It's basics. It's the basics. But some can't accept that. When we do not follow these, we are displeasing to him. Just as the Israelites were then for not offering what God had commanded the priest to offer, it was unacceptable then, it's unacceptable now. When we do other things than what is prescribed in his word, we understand that that is not right. Verse 9, and now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit is that its food may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? When we grow too proud, individuals, let's say we do forget. Let's say we do regress. We've decided, well, that's not the path we're going to go. We're going to have a little different interpretation. We've got to be real careful here. We've got to be real careful here that we don't step away from what the Bible commands, because we're going to fall in the same cursed position that the Israelites were in. God took no pleasure in them whatsoever, because they gave him what he didn't want. They didn't have respect for him. They didn't offer animals that were that we're pure. So do you think that's any different with us in worship service? That when we do things outside of what the Bible prescribes for us to do, that God accepts that as worship? Of course not. Of course not. Verse 14, cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. So how do we know that we are of the body and displeasing or displeasing to the Lord? We judge ourselves by the Bible, by the only ruler that God's given us, right here. This is how we know whether we're right or we're wrong. It's very simple. And just like the manuals that I pass out at work for safety, when you do this, you're wrong. When you do this, you're right. Just like any manual that you're going to read, when you're working on a computer over here, reference the manual. Okay, this is what I need to do in order to fix this problem or in order to do this on this software. Same simple thing with the Bible. Am I okay to get divorced and remarried? Well, let's see. Let me turn over here. In Matthew, what does it tell me? Am I right or am I wrong? Can you accept that? We want to do something else with our money at church. We want to start supporting an orphanage, or we want to start sending preachers overseas and giving them money so they can give it to people outside the body. You know what? Is there an example of that in the New Testament? Is there something that says you can do that? That's the problem. That's the problem, brothers and sisters. We have to, everything that we do, we have to go back to the Bible. Turn over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. I guess if I'm going to read it, I need to turn over there myself, huh? So I asked the question, how do we know that we're right or we're wrong? Well, one of the things, and I'm kind of doing a little introduction with this lesson as well, the material that we're about to start teaching on Sunday mornings, is how do we know whether we're right or wrong? How do we measure ourselves? We measure ourselves by the Bible. Here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul is talking about growing up in all things. Turn to verse 11, if you would. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects to Him who is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We're to grow up. We're to grow up in all things. Okay, we are to take the blessings that God has given us and increase those things. We're to take the strengths that we have as Christians and help those who have weaknesses in that area. We're to identify the weaknesses that we have and use the strengths that others have to build ourselves up. That's how we know we're growing in all things. Now, okay, you say, well, that's great, Wes. People outside the body of Christ do the same thing. They mature. They learn more. There again, if you want to reference that, go back to Malachi for just a second. What's he talk about? They're big grand schemes. They're going to rebuild everything. We're going to be mighty. We're going to be great once again. You start off on the wrong foot, and you won't be. You may be for a little while. These false doctrines, these false teachers, these big conglomerate churches are pulling a lot of people in. Yeah, they are. Pulling a lot of people in. But they're pulling them in for the wrong reasons and they're teaching them the wrong thing. And eventually, those things are going to be undone. Maybe not in this lifetime, maybe at the end of this lifetime, they will be undone. And we don't want to be a part of that. One last point before I close. Turn to John the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if I do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Bearing fruit. If we're growing up in all things, if we measure ourselves properly, we know that we're doing what's right, and we continue to learn, we continue to strive to be better, we are going to grow. A part of that growth is going to be bearing fruit. Now, I want to make this clear in that not always when you're bearing fruit are you always doing the right thing. Alright? Now, I want that to be taken out of context, in that we know that there are people outside the body of Christ, or brothers and sisters who are in error, who do good things and do good works and help other people out, but they're not in good favor with God. Okay, we've got to make sure that we continue to search the Scriptures, and just because we're bringing people in the door and we're teaching people and we're bettering people, we've got to make sure that we teach them the basics. We've got to make sure that they have a good starting point to build off of. And those individuals, when they get to a good point, we can start getting into more of the meat of the Word and helping them to grow so that they too will bear fruit. That's what it's all about, is helping each other out. I want to make one quick comment on this, and the last couple of points that we talked about is going to be kind of the building blocks. So I've helped you guys out. The first lesson, your first two questions in the book are going to be about these two topics. So I want you guys' full participation in this, and I think we can really profit from studying these things, from getting into the meat, as I see in the Scriptures, of helping each other to grow, helping ourselves to grow, helping us to identify our weaknesses and make sure that we're working on those things, identifying our strengths and helping each and every other person in the congregation to continue to grow as well. This lesson hasn't been so much a plea for those to come forward and to be baptized, but we know that in order to be pleasing to God and to be on a good starting point with God and building the basics up and bearing fruit, that all starts with one thing. Starts with, obviously we know there's some things before being baptized. We understand that. But in order to start off at a good point to be in the body of Christ, you must be baptized. So if we can help anybody with that tonight, please ask that you come forward. Also, if there's anyone here that needs a prayer to the congregation, we wish that you would make that note at this time as well. Stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the world depart.